filled us in on an integration parade in St. Augustine that got attacked by a mob of white people, about white vigilante groups, fire hoses, and tear gas. We got all the totals. 3 civil rights workers killed, 2 bomb blasts, 3 Negro students chased with axe handles. Since Mr. Johnson signed that law, it was like somebody had ripped the side seams out of American life. We watched the lineup of governors coming on the TV screen asking for calm and reason. August said she was afraid it was only a matter of time before we saw things like that happen right here in Tiburon. I felt white and self-conscious sitting there, especially with June in the room. Self-conscious and ashamed. Usually May didn't watch, but one night she joined us, and midway through she started to hum "Oh, Susanna." She was upset over a Negro man named Mr. Raines, who was killed by a shotgun from a passing car in Georgia. They showed a picture of his widow, holding her children, and suddenly May started to sob. Of course, everybody jumped up like she was an unpinned grenade and tried to quiet her, but it was too late. May rocked back and forth, slapping her arms and scratching at her face. She tore open her blouse so the pale yellow buttons went flying like popped corn. I had never seen her like this, and it frightened me. August and June each took one of May's elbows and guided her through the door in a movement so smooth it was plain they'd done it before. A few moments later, I heard water filling the claw-footed tub where twice I'd bathed in honey water. One of the sisters had put a pair of red socks on 2 of the tub's feet. Who knows why? I supposed it was May, who didn't need a reason. Rosaline and I crept to the door of the bathroom. It was cracked open enough for us to see May sitting in the tub in a little cloud of steam, hugging her knees. June scooped up handfuls of water and drizzled them slowly across May's back. Her crying had eased off now into sniffling. August's voice came from behind the door. "That's right, May. Let all that misery slide right off you. Just let it go." Each night after the news, we all knelt down on the rug in the parlor before Black Mary and said prayers to her. Or rather, the 3 sisters and I knelt, and Rosaline sat on a chair. August, June, and May called the statue Our Lady of Chains for no reason that I could see. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The sisters held strands of wooden beads and moved them in their fingers. In the beginning, Rosaline refused to join in, but soon she was going right along with the rest of us. I had the words memorized after the first evening. That's because we said the same thing over and over till it went on repeating itself in my head long after I stopped mouthing it. It was some kind of Catholic saying, but when I asked August if they were Catholic, she said, "Well, yes and no. My mother was a good Catholic. She went to Mass twice a week at St. Mary's in Richmond, but my father was an Orthodox eclectic." I had no idea what sort of denomination Orthodox eclectic was, but I nodded like we had a big group of them back in Sylvan. She said, "May and June and I take our mother's Catholicism and mix in our own ingredients. I'm not sure what you call it, but it suits us." When we finished saying Hail Mary about 300 times, we said our personal prayers silently, which was kept to a minimum, since our knees would be killing us by then. I shouldn't complain, since it was nothing compared to kneeling on the Martha Whites. Finally, the sisters would cross themselves from their foreheads to their navels, and it would be over. One evening, after they'd crossed themselves and everyone had left the room but me and August, she said, "Lily, if you ask Mary's help, she'll give it." I didn't know what to say to that, so I shrugged. She motioned me to sit next to her in the rocking chair. "I want to tell you a story," she said. "It's a story our mother used to tell us when we got tired of our chores or out of sorts with our lives." "I'm not tired of my chores," I said. "I know, but it's a good story. Just listen." I situated myself in the chair and rocked back and forth, listening to the creaking sounds that rocking chairs are famous for.